So instead of people being like, dang, boy, you know, Sherman pissed his knickers. Instead, they'd be like, damn, Sherman got them Picasso pants.
You want a podcast? Great. So you have some audio on your website that nobody goes to.
You're listening to Vandaltron's Curious World Podcast. Check it out, baby.
What's up, everybody? I'm back in New York, and woo, it is hot as fuck. But it's the summer, and you knew that. I hope wherever you are, you're staying cool. Or maybe you like the heat. You know, I was thinking a lot about, you know, when you listen to podcasts and hosts will have a little intro, they'll try to be funny, they'll try to be inspirational, sometimes confessional. But if it doesn't come from a real place, I think most of us kind of tune out and just like, hey man, you're full of shit. Because I think people, I think when you listen to this show for honesty, I mean, I think I pride myself on, you know, the premise of this show is truthful conversation. However that may, whatever form that may take, whether it's funny or revealing, and hopefully my goal is that it's interesting and insightful. So I didn't want to, you know, kind of bog you down with any kind of things that are outwardly entertaining or inspirational, but, you know, talk a little bit about my trip home. I think if you listen to my Father's Day special, I was kind of, you know, that was on my mind going home and you know, spending some time with my family. And so my goal home was, because I have a lot of different views than my family members, I just see the world differently. For instance, they're into fishing. I have no use for it. I am a consumer of alcohol and even coffee, and they don't. So I've always been kind of an alien when I went home. And sometimes it's adversarial, not in a mean way, but more of a more, I guess, debate way. And I didn't want to do that. And I wanted to exercise the, as Jordan Peterson says, the minimal amount of force that's needed in any kind of situation. I'm not looking to destroy or crush anybody. I just want to make my points and then get in and get out and really open up to learn. So there is some, you know, certain. I have a brother that I've mentioned on the show that is quite religious, and I remember on TV there was sort of the end of a Law and Order, and you know, there's this big courtroom confessional as Law and Order usually ends. This is back with Jill Hennessy era. So this is like kind of the first phase. Anyway, this woman's on the stand and she's kind of getting, you know, she's breaking down. And I think the premise of the case was that she couldn't remember that she killed her eight month old baby. And she was under the impression, or her defense was that God, she was guided by God. And then after much pressing, she revealed that she did remember, and it was a courtroom confessional, and she was found guilty. Anyway, my brother commented that, well, that, you know, she's wrong. She's psycho. So I just said, well, you know, that is a popular defense. You know, many people have claimed to have heard God. And he said, only the angels have heard God. So I said, oh, so everybody that has heard God is wrong? He said, yeah, when you commit crimes like that or murder, then you don't hear God. You're not, you know, you're insane. Of course, I felt like I had enough in my arsenal to debunk that, but I didn't want to. That wasn't the point. And I just felt like I'm not going to convince him. He's definitely not going to convince me. So, you know, leave it alone. And some other things like that came up. And what I found was I got a little sad because without that kind of collision, that debate, there was really nothing. And I didn't know what to do with that. And maybe the reason I'm sharing this is maybe you're out there and maybe this happens to you. You have the best intentions and then you get into a certain situation. You fall into patterns. You fall into these group dynamics that you've known, whether it's a lover, maybe your the interactions you have on a professional level or family members, that you've kind of slip into these things and you say things when you shouldn't, or you remain silent because you know that's the path of least resistance. It's tough, you know, and I think we're all creatures of habit. But I have this baseline that I've been kind of saying to myself over and over and over again. All living creatures, plants, grizzly bears, cats, dogs, humans, we all just want love, you know. We have other, you know, we have the necessities, you know, Maslow's hierarchy. I think love is up there. And sometimes when we don't get the love that we want or deserve or need, then we take things to satisfy those needs. That lack of love sometimes turns into hostility, rage, jealousy, anger. I think exerting power and exerting force is kind of to neutralize that hurt, that heartache of not having love. And it's tough. And I've been there. And maybe you have too. And if you know from experience that it is a pit. It's a pit, and it's like you're standing on a magnet and it's really hard to get out of. So I don't know. I mean, I'd like to tell you that, oh, well, you know, I had this catharsis and then, you know, we all had this like group hug. Nothing horrible happened. There was no accusations. There was no finger pointing. But it was nice. I'm still trying to solve it. It has nothing to do with my family, by the way. I love my family. I love, you know, they mean so much to me. It's not about that. It's really about me. It's about conquering myself. It's about being a better version of myself today than I was yesterday. Because that's what I can control. Little things. Letting go, I think, helps a lot too. Letting go, I think sometimes when we all get in our heads of, you know, the woulda, shoulda, coulda, or if I did this or if I didn't do that. I think sometimes the past is the past and you need to leave it behind. I think it's kind of like protein, I think. You know, we have this obsession of, oh, I need protein. We get a small amount will go a long way. Unless you're a bodybuilder or pro athlete. So, I think, you know, the be here now, it is kind of cliche, but man, if you can kind of stay afloat and not worry too much about, because here's the thing, I mean, you know, with Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, you know, there was a lot of attention on suicide and depression. How do we deal with that? And of course, because of news cycles, nobody cares about that now. The past can give you depression, and thinking about the future can give you anxiety. So you're kind of fucked, right? I think it's a balancing act, and I think you have to not be hard on yourself. And so reflecting about my recent trip home, while you know, things didn't work out exactly the way I wanted them to. I also remind myself that rarely do things work out exactly the way we want them to. In fact, I would suggest that nothing works out the way we want them to. Maybe sometimes they work out a little bit better. But I think that's the kind of the nuance of life, is you plan and plan and plan, but you also have this caveat of, you know, it might not work out this way. Whether you're going for a job interview, you're planning for a birthday party, or you want to ask a girl out, or doesn't matter. Things don't work out exactly the way you want them to. And so let that go. It's all a learning process. And I think maybe, you know, you out there listening with whatever you're doing, maybe you're pretending to be busy at work, or you're traveling home, or you're on a treadmill. I think we're all on this journey of trying to figure things out. And it's hard. You know, it's not linear. We don't go A to B to C and then on our journey to Z. That'd be great. Sometimes we back up. Sometimes we take U-turns, and sometimes we fuck up, and sometimes we hurt other people and we hurt ourselves. But it's all learning. If you kind of take the perception of, I'm learning, it's okay, I'm learning, then I think that helps. You know, there was this UFC fighter that Sarah Mann, who I think in the documentary The Hurt Business, you know, she was talking about how her fiance, she and her fiance got into this horrible car accident and he died. And she was talking about other things in her life while she was competing, and she said, you know, this sucks and I hate it. But then she said, you know, that's, you know, I wish this and I wish that, but that's not my life. This is my life. And that stayed with me. So all the things that are happening to you, just remember that. This is your life. My guest today is Darren Benson, who is an aspiring comic book writer. He is also makes his own toys, which is kind of unique. I wish I knew him when I was, 10 years old or 12 years old. Oh, fuck it. You guys know I still collect toys. It's a great, interesting conversation. I hope you enjoy it. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. So without further delay, my conversation with Darren Benson.
The main issue is they're not using, like, take a note from Marvel in the sense of, like, have it, one, make sense. Two, on top of having it make sense, make it, like, enjoyable. You know what I mean? Like, granted, the X-Men as a franchise is meant to be dark to a degree, but it's still relatable. You know, it still should be. You should be able to watch it and be like, I identify with these characters. I've gone through something similar to this. Like, that's what, like, what drew me to the X-Men as a franchise in general back when I was a little kid was seeing the animated series on Fox.
Oh, yeah.
And you just felt, I mean, as an adult, I understand what they did. Like, as the writers, I understand what the writers did, but as a little kid, you know, I was just like, oh my God, I love it. I love it. Can't get enough of it. Mainly because of the fact that you just felt like you identified with them. Like, even if there's not, like, let's say one particular character that you're like, okay, that's me. That's Devin right there. You're going to say to yourself, like, oh my God, you know, everyone feels like they, at some point in life, feel like they don't belong. And the X-Men, in a way, is a group of outcasts, you know what I mean? Everyone fears and hates them. They're a group of outcasts. And being a little kid, like I said, before I went to college, I was very different from how I am now. I was a lot more, like, reserved. I, you know, grew up in not the best situation, you know what I mean? And
then you got bit by a radioactive spider.
Exactly. It was a radioactive mutant Asgardian that gave me a hammer alongside, yeah. You know? But yeah, I felt like...
Now, watching the X-Men movies, would you prefer Hugh Jackman to actually wear that costume?
To wear the costume, yes and no. Yes in the sense of having a costume, but no in the sense of having the traditional blue and yellow. Like, if they do something to the extent of, let's say, what they do on, like, the Flash or Arrow or something like that, give it the basics of the costume, but just fudge with it a little bit. I think that would be a good marriage between the two. Or, you can, I mean, Wolverine has had plenty of costumes over the years. Like, at one point in the early 2000s in the comic books, the X-Men were literally just wearing, like, big leather coat, big leather jackets with, you know...
They look like a biker gang.
Yeah, they look like a biker gang, but at the same time, it looked freaking cool. So, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Like, maybe the yellow a little bit.
I think
that's
like Grant Morrison.
Morrison. When Morrison took it over.
Yeah, he just had, like, flight jackets and the X.
Yeah. I mean, them looked a little risque walking down the street, but the rest of them looked like they could, you know, it would make sense, you know?
So, what... Did you have a favorite X-Men?
I've always been someone who, I don't know why, but I've always had an affinity for characters who have wings. I've always, maybe it's...
Don't say Angel.
Yeah, Angel was...
Really?
Archangel was my favorite.
Archangel was good.
Yeah.
But, like, pre-apocalypse where he was just the rich dude,
Well, you gotta...
I think they really realized that, like, wow, this guy really, we either kill him or change him.
Well, the thing is, like, the character was created in, like, the 60s, where superheroes were vastly different than what they are now. Like, nowadays, what you expect from a superhero is, like, what you mean flying is your only power? You better be super strong, have, like...
Healing factor,
be able to punch your way through a planet, you know what I mean? Like, but back in the 60s, for the most part, you know... Everyone had, like, that one ability. Like, even the Hulk, let's keep it real. Like, back at that point, you knew the Hulk to be, like, super strong, you know? But now, like, if you were to go on, like, you know, marvel.wikia.com and, you know, look at Hulk's abilities, he has, like, a litany of abilities.
Yeah, it depends,
like,
on who's writing him. Because there was one where I think it was Peter David who was writing him. He punched Absorbing Man or something, and like send him to the moon.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, the Angel as a character being birthed at that point, of course he's only going to have, like, the wings. That's it. That's all he's going to get, because that's just a reflection of the times, versus, like, now as him being Archangel, you know, he has rapid healing. He has...
adamantium wings.
Yeah, like, his wings are like the metal, and which makes no sense. Like, how is he flying with, you know, these gigantic metal, you know, probably, you know, super heavy wings? It's not like he has, like, jet propulsion or something like that, but that's like a story for another day. But, you know, these wings, they flap and they release, like, you know, basically like poison tips,
yeah,
like
blades.
You know, and on top of that, I know that the character's meant to be, like, above human strength. You know what I mean? Like, he has, like, all of these abilities now. You know what I mean? It's just a reflection of the times now, you know? So, yeah, Angel was my favorite. Well, probably still is my favorite.
But you even liked him, like, when he had the Halo suit?
Like,
it was like red and white, and he had
before he was Archangel,
right.
He was just Angel. Honestly, I didn't know the character until I saw him on the X-Men cartoon, because I was too young. I wouldn't say I was too young to read comic books, it's just that I didn't have the opportunity to get to a comic book store at that point. So when I started reading comic books, I started seeing the fact that, you know, what he looked like beforehand, and I was still kind of like, oh, he's still cool. You know, he's still a character with wings. Like, what do you want from me? That's just who I am. My last name is Peacock, okay? Of course, I'm going
to
like anything.
Who else has wings?
Like, bird or wing related.
Well, I guess Hawkman. right?
Hawkman, there's Hawk Girl, there is
Gargoyle,
Falcon.
Oh yeah, Falcon.
Yeah, so of course Falcon is like probably my favorite Avenger too. But yeah, that's just what it is. You know, none of these characters are the most powerful characters you're going to come across. None of them are.
Yeah, but my favorite was Nightcrawler, and so my friends would be like, "Oh, he's such a pussy. Oh, he can't do shit. Wolverine kick his ass."
Yeah.
Well, I don't read it to this is I don't read to say like that. That is irrelevant to me. I don't care. But it's so funny because you know, as nerds, we all of us have that lowest common denominator of, well, Colossus, he can't beat the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
What, so?
Like, you don't look at... Okay, so I feel like there's like, the difference between, let's say, the X-Men and, like, Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z, these characters... Today, I'm the strongest person on the planet. Tomorrow, you're the strongest person on the planet. The next day, I'm the strongest person in the universe.
Right, there's no weaknesses. It's just another character comes by and just can kick his ass.
Yeah.
So he has to go train and kick his ass.
And for me, to me, that's boring. I prefer the characters who have, like, flaws. And not flaws as in, like, they're debilitating. Well, Unsung Heroes plug. But, you know, I like my characters to have character. You know what I mean? I've always been someone who's been really into, like, ensembles as far as, like, my comic books and TV shows and cartoons and all of this stuff is concerned. I like to have, like, you know, lack of a better word, once again, diversity. Meaning, like, if you're super strong, maybe I should be able to fly. And if I'm flying, maybe you should be the one who reads minds. And if you're reading minds, maybe you should be the one who is super fast. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that... makes things more interesting to me.
Does Unsung Heroes have a strong guy?
Well, Captain Armstrong. He's the strong. He's the.
Oh, he's the.
Yeah. He's like I said. He's our version of like old Superman. You know, and you guys will see. But the actor who plays Captain Armstrong, Nick Serlis, is brilliant. He's brilliant. He gets it front to back, 100%. Yeah, you guys are gonna love like what you see when you see his episode. But everyone will love every episode, but you'll understand like what I'm talking about when you get to his episode. You know, each one of these. By the way, like speaking on that, each one of the actors who are portraying the characters, they get it. They get it and they run with it. Like it's one thing for me to write a script. Like obviously, I'm a big comic book geek. I went to school with the intentions of writing comic books.
Today.
Huh?
Were the actors as well?
Comic book people?
Like, yeah, or were they just performers and... I'm saying, do they share your background?
Oh, no, no. Right. They're all professional performers. yeah, professional.
I went to Juilliard. Yeah, put on these tights.
Exactly. Put on these tights, put on that, you know, Party City mask, and get your ass over there on set, you know? And fight that mugger, you know? But
we don't have a permit.
I know, right? Guerrilla style. But they didn't necessarily... I mean, they understand, like, the whole comic book motif, and they understand, like, you know, superhero versus supervillain. They get that, but they also get the fact that this is, in a way, poking fun at that.
Right.
You know, and they get it, and they commit to it, you know? And I really appreciate that, you know, as... you know, the writer of this project, because, you know, I can only do but so much when it comes to, like, the writing is concerned. As far as the writing is concerned, you can only do but so much. Your script could be brilliant, but if it's not executed a certain kind of way, you know, it may not land, you know, with the, it may not portray the type of image that you would like. But when you have, like, let's say, good direction and good actors, they may blow whatever you wrote down on the script, like, in the script, they may blow that out the water. I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't even think about that. That's amazing. Thank you so much for gifting that to me by giving me your own interpretation to it, you know? I mean, ultimately, this is all very collaborative, but at the same time, like, I don't have all the answers. Like, Even if I'm, let's say, directing or producing or writing or whatever, that's still only going to be one portion or two portions of the greater picture, meaning, like, you're still going to need someone to do a brilliant performance. Like, if the script is garbage and there's a brilliant performance, you know, there you go. You know, it's, you still need a great performance for, you know, to make a great piece, you know, and you still need good writing and good direction and all those other things to have a great piece. And I'm very thankful for the people that, you know, have partnered up with me to make this, you know.
Awesome, man. Well, you know, like, you know, reading about the success of the web series High Maintenance, you know, it started off as a web series on Vimeo and recently got picked up on HBO.
Oh, wow.
And then, so now they're showing the vignettes, you know, like 8 minutes, 5 minutes, and then they've expanded it to like an actual TV show now. I haven't seen the TV show, I mean, I saw the vignettes. So yeah, that's the crazy thing about technology now, that it's all a level playing field now.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to, I think as consumers, you know, we have so much to choose from, and there's so much, you know, there's good quality, but there's also, you know, probably garbage out there too. As filmmakers, you know, we also have to be smart and not just create a good quality product. We also have to be savvy in marketing.
Yeah.
You know, which is great because you have your background as a superhero. So, Devin, we've almost run out of time. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this. I just have a one final question for you. If you were to go back, let's say 10 years from now, 10 years ago in Time Machine, what would you tell Devin then?
Let me see. I would tell Devin then, be prepared. Because a lot of crazy stuff happened. And, you know, you're never really prepared for when, like, bad stuff happens in your life, like really bad things. You're just kind of saying to yourself, like, oh, you know, you're just appreciative, or hopefully you're appreciative of, you know, where your life is in the moment. I would say just be prepared to kind of fight for happiness. I know this sounds a little, like, weird to say, but what I mean by that is life is just difficult. It's difficult and it's hard and it's so easy to kind of get in a rut with it. And I know we said like a lot today about, like, you know, performers and, you know, temp jobs and all this stuff, but I'll be the first to admit I'm very, very happy with the life that I have now, because, you know, a lot of people don't have the opportunity to do what they want to do, you know, on a day-to-day basis. Like, you know, they have kids and their primary, like, they all they can think about is just, like, you know, feeding their kids or putting food on the table, or, you know, dealing with, like, maybe an older parent
or
a death or something like that. I had to deal with a death, basically, and it, like, rocked my world. And it took me a long time to kind of bounce back from that, but I feel very strong. I feel a lot stronger now. I mean, obviously, the death still is with me. But, like I said, that particular, you know, death, it was like a death of a parent, you know. I wasn't expecting it. Not that this wasn't 10 years ago, but this was basically what we were talking about before, when I was a publicist and then I made the decision to be a performer. Like, I expected my life to, you know, I was going to do PR, and I was like, I'm going to, like, you know, bust my ass and become, like, the best publicist, you know, but then when this death happened, and then my life was just, like, turned upside down. Like, I was, like, saving up my money to move out, to, you know, move closer to the city. You know, literally everything in my life was, like, gone, in the sense of, like, nothing was the same anymore. Like, I'm not working, I'm not doing PR anymore. I have to now move. because I was living, I was raised by my grandmother, by the way. So she passed suddenly. Like, there was nothing. She was young, too. Like, when she passed, she was 62, you know, healthy, yelled at me the night before about something, you know. Then when she passed, it was just like, at first I was like, okay, all right, you know, I'm an adult, I got this, I can do this on my own. I kind of told myself that, but just lived little by little, my life just pretty much fell apart. And it took me a long time to get to where I am now. And where I am now is, I'm, like I said, I'm able to do whatever I want to do with my life. I'm able to, like, hey, today I feel like, you know, I feel like coming on a podcast. And, you know, tomorrow I feel like doing something with a friend. And then, you know, I could be filming something on Thursday or go on audition or, you know, go to a class. And that's okay. And I know a lot of people aren't in that space, you know. Their lives, as much as they would like it to be, their lives aren't their own. And I'm very appreciative that I do have that luxury, that to have my life to myself and do whatever I want to do, you know.
You also made the choice to do that. Made the choice to open up these doors for yourself and create these opportunities. Make these decisions.
It took a while. It took a long time, you know.
It's all relative.
Yeah.
I think for myself and people listening, I think we all, you know, to certain degrees, we all have to wake up, you know, and mm-hmm. it's never too late. And some people, I think we all know people who don't want to wake up and want to keep, are rigid. And I think as you get older, I know for me, as I get older, I don't want to deal with those people anymore mm-hmm. because it's such a power drain for me mm-hmm. of like having to pivot and just deal with that energy of negativity.
Yeah.
I'd rather just, I mean, like you said, life is designed to not be easy.
Yeah.
You have to work every day to be happy.
Yeah.
And it's an everyday process. You can't unlearn things. We all have bad habits. We just have to keep doing things to make ourselves happy, but not just happy, but also fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And that may change, and you have to be open to that change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What people who may listen to this may not know, if you're like not a performer, is that your life changes all the time. And I think that we forget that we are as flexible as we are, in the sense of, for us, we made our peace with a long time ago, saying to ourselves, like, okay, tomorrow I may get this like wonderful opportunity, and then I'm just gone, and I'm focusing on that one opportunity for a little bit. I come back, and now other opportunities may come our way. But other people, you know, they got that one job, they may get a promotion, they may get, you know, a raise, or, you know, be moved to a different branch. But it's, for the most part, it's still linear in that way, you know. But for us, you know, today, you know, you can say to yourself, primarily you're an actor. Tomorrow you can be like, you know, primarily I am a graphic designer. And then you make that your primary focus for a little bit, and then act a little bit along the way, you know. But we are afforded that luxury. Like, you know, to this weekend, you know, this upcoming weekend, I could host something. And of course, in the moment, I'm focused on hosting, but then I can film something like the next day. And that's okay. And I am appreciative of having that flexibility, because like, not everybody has that, you know. We are in an industry where we are not given the privilege of being bored, you know? Being bored is like, ugh. You're doing something wrong if you're bored, because there's always something to do.
That means you're doing it.
Exactly. We're given the ability to be flexible, and I appreciate that, because I'm almost never bored in that sense. Like, one day I'm acting, the next day I'm dancing, the next day I'm singing, the next day I'm hosting, you know? And that's a typical week for me, you know? And I'm, like I said, I know I keep saying this, but I'm very appreciative of the life that I have.
That's awesome. I mean, I think that's the key.
So there you have it, guys. It got kind of crinkly at the end, so I just thought I'd cut it off right there. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. Bodhisattva, go out and do good in the world. I'll check you next time.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, oh, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
God only knows what I'd be without.